Good morning. Happy Mother's Day, especially to the moms, right? I want everybody to have a happy day. And good morning to all of those who are watching online. I invite you to get your outline out of your program so you can follow along with the message this morning. We want to honor our moms for all that you do, all that you have done, all that you will do. We know some have lost their moms in recent days. Think of Mandy, and we grieve with you and realize it might be a tough day for you. And for Kim Fielden, who lost her mom not long ago. But it's a good day to be here together. You know, when I was a kid, I was taught that I had two moms, two mothers. And it's not what you might be thinking. The first was my natural mom who gave birth to me and cared for me. And the second mother was my mother in heaven, Mary, the mother of Jesus, who I was taught is the Blessed Mother. I was taught to pray to her, a prayer known as the Hail Mary. Every person raised Catholic knows that prayer backwards and forwards. We were also taught to pray the Rosary. That's a devotional in which you pray 50 Hail Marys, along with some other prayers. You count them off on a string of beads specially made for this purpose. Many of you were raised the same way. In Roman Catholic belief, Mary, the mother of Jesus, is venerated, prayed to, and thought of by some, though not by all Roman Catholics, as the co-redeemer with Jesus. Catholics believe that as they pray to Mary in heaven, Mary prays for us, prays to Jesus for us on our behalf. As his mother, she has special influence with him. She's called the Blessed Mother because, as Mary herself prophesied, from now on, all generations will call me blessed. Luke chapter 1, verse 48. Today, on Mother's Day, our message is entitled, The Blessed Mother. Now, as followers of Jesus, our first question in considering any belief always has to be, what does the Bible teach? What does it teach about Mary? Well, on the one hand, as a person raised in a Roman Catholic setting with those beliefs, with those practices and so forth, and now as an evangelical pastor who has studied the Bible for decades, I must respectfully disagree with my Roman Catholic family and friends regarding these beliefs about Mary. But on the other hand, as evangelicals, sometimes we go to the other extreme, the opposite extreme, and ignore Mary's example and the lessons from her life. Today, from the Bible, we're going to discover what Mary has to teach us about our moms and about honoring them, and the unique and essential role that they play in our lives. We're going to discover that any mom, like Mary, can be a blessed mother, remembered throughout the generations. We're looking today at three ways any mom can be a blessed mother. They're there on your outline, and I invite you to fill in the blanks as we go along. The first one is be a mother to Jesus. You heard me right, a mother to Jesus. Now, if you're a Roman Catholic, you might be offended by my saying this. You may say to me, Randy, Mary is unique. No one else can be called Jesus' mother, and to suggest such a thing is not only ludicrous, but it's sacrilegious. Only Mary conceived God's Son in her womb, a miraculous conception, while she was a virgin. No other woman has ever experienced a virginal conception and birth. No other mother can be called God's carrier as she was, nursing him, changing his diapers, potty training him, tucking him into bed. And no other mother feared for his life and felt the shattering horror of seeing him nailed naked to a cross and in excruciating pain. And to all of that, I say amen. All of that is taught in the Bible, or is at least deducible from the scriptures. Mary is unique among all the women and all the mothers in the world, a woman of unparalleled stature, chosen by God for the most holy of all tasks. She's a wonderful example to all of us. And it's absolutely right and important that all generations call her blessed. And yet, I still stand by point number one. Jesus himself did and still does call a woman other than Mary his mother. You say, what are you talking about? Well, it happened one day as Jesus was teaching in a house that was packed with eager listeners, so packed that the crowd overflowed outside, all around the house and into the street. And Jesus' mother and his brothers were very worried about him. You see, they had been hearing reports about him. His ministry demands had gotten so heavy on him that he was neglecting his meals. His mom, I'm sure, got concerned about that. They had heard reports of him performing miraculous healings and exorcisms and even claiming to forgive sins. And now, even respected religious teachers were saying that he was blaspheming God. And so Mary and the family came to perform an intervention for Jesus, to get him some help. We pick up in Mark chapter 3, beginning at verse 31. And help me out when we come to the yellow print. That's your cue, if you're new with us today, to read along out loud with me. It says, then Jesus' mother and brothers came to see him. They stood outside and sent word for him to come out and talk with them. There was a crowd sitting around Jesus, and someone said, your mother and brothers are outside asking for you. Jesus replied, who is my mother? Who are my brothers? Then he looked around him and said, look, these are my mother and brothers. Anyone who does God's will is my brother and sister, and look at it, and mother. That's the word of the Lord. This is astounding. It's jaw-dropping. In that culture, there was no closer connection than family. And there was no worse sin than dissing your parents. That was second only to dissing God. Yet, it may seem that Jesus is dissing his family here, and even dissing his mom. Think of it. Family is the place where you let your hair down, right? You can wear your PJs, your grubbies. You don't have to shave. You don't have to dress up. It's as informal as it gets. You can be comfortable around them. Jesus says he has a family like that. Those who follow him, those who hang out with him, those who do God's will, they, says Jesus, are his family, his brother, sister, and yes, mother. They know him so intimately, even closer than natural family. This, folks, is church, the way Jesus envisioned it. A family even tighter than a close, natural family. That sounds ludicrous, doesn't it? Really? Never heard of such a thing. Although I'm here to tell you that in some places in the world it still exists. Places especially where persecution against Christians is heavy and Christians have to meet underground. I pray one day we'll see this fully in the church here in the West, fully here at Stony Creek Church. This is Jesus' goal. It's his goal for us. It's his goal for you. But still, what does Jesus mean by being his mother in this story? We can understand being his sister. That would be a female follower of Jesus. We can understand being his brother. That would be a male follower of Jesus. Now notice here that he doesn't say father. That's not in the mix. No one can act as Jesus' father, his spiritual father, in a spiritual way. Of course, Joseph was his adoptive father. But nobody can be Jesus' father except his heavenly father, God the Father. But how can a woman, other than Mary, be his mother? What does he mean by this? Well, Jesus, first of all, it's important to understand he is not dissing his mom here. On the contrary, he's saying that a female Jesus follower who goes the extra mile, as did Mary, and dedicates herself to caring for him, caring for his children, raising and even mentoring them, discipling them to be like Jesus. These women he calls his mother. We might call them Jesus' moms. Jesus' moms. Other female Jesus followers flock to Jesus' moms in the church for advice and for mentoring. They seem to possess this supernatural strength, this magnetism. People seem to flock to them. I know of some Jesus moms here at Stony Creek Church. I might be looking at some right now. I don't want to embarrass anybody. You're not only a sister to us, you're a mother who shows us how to live for Jesus, even in tough times. And you guys, you know who they are. But if you're a female Jesus follower, and maybe even a mom, but not a Jesus mom, don't feel left out. No way. On the contrary, Jesus is your big brother. You're his sister. I mean, for real. He says so. And whether Jesus' motherhood is or is not for you down the road, enjoy knowing him and loving him and serving him now. Spend time with him. Spend time with the fam. Call him. Text him, message him 100 times a day. Ask him to help you with the kids. Take him to the gym with you. Take him to work with you. This is what Jesus is getting at here. The people that surround him. Let's look at the second way any mom can be a blessed mother. Number two on your outline. Be an intercessor to Jesus. An intercessor to Jesus. You say, oh man, now Randy, you're really starting to sound Catholic on us. All right? Catholics pray to Mary to intercede for us to Jesus. Yes, that's right. But that's not what I'm talking about here. To show you, let's look at John chapter 2, beginning at verse 1. It says, on the third day, a wedding took place at Cana in Galilee. Jesus' mother was there. And Jesus and his disciples, who had also been invited to the wedding. When the wine was gone, Jesus' mother said to him, they have no more wine. Help me. Woman, why do you involve me? Jesus replied, my hour has not yet come. Here Jesus will perform his very first public miracle, turning water to wine. Now, the first thing that leaps out to me, I don't know about you, in this story, is Jesus' relationship to his mother. Doesn't look too good, as we might look at it, especially when you understand that in a culture like that, respecting your parents was emphasized way more than it is in our culture. Jesus sounds here like a sassy, crabby teenager telling his mom to bug off. The New International Version tones it down a little bit. The Greek more literally reads, woman, what do I have to do with you? Woman, what do I have to do with you? Jesus, is that any way to talk to your mom, for crying out loud? To call your mom woman back then would sound strange, just like it sounds strange to us today. This was not normal. But it would not be disrespectful. It might sound disrespectful to us, but it wouldn't sound disrespectful. It would sound distant. It would be like calling your mom ma'am. Probably not going to do that too often. It's polite, but aloof. Nowhere, get this, nowhere in all Jewish literature, ancient Jewish literature, or Greek ancient literature, does a son refer to his mother as woman. Only Jesus does that. In fact, he always does that. He never calls her anything but that in John's gospel. Think of it. Mary had known Jesus as an infant, a little boy, and then a teenager, and now as a grown-up adult, about 30 years old. She knew he was the Messiah when he was conceived in her womb, but here, she doesn't know the implications of that yet. Nobody did. As a man, Jesus began in his mother's womb. But of course, as God the Son, he existed from all eternity with the Father and with the Holy Spirit. So now, at this moment, in Jesus' life and Mary's life, it's time for Jesus to speak to Mary as her Lord, not as her son. What Mary does know is that the wine has run out at this wedding reception, which is a first-class disaster in that culture. You know, wine at a wedding was as crucial, every bit as crucial as it is today. It was as crucial as gas is to a car. In fact, to run out of wine at your wedding was a public disgrace that might never be lived down. In fact, it was such a social humiliation that the parents of the bride could actually sue the groom for damages if they ran out of wine at the wedding. And Mary is in charge of the catering. And so this is her problem too. And so she turns to Jesus. Why does she do that? To perform a miracle? Well, not necessarily. Remember, at this point, Jesus has yet to perform any miracle. She turns to Jesus because he's a good and resourceful son, most likely. Jesus, help me out here. Is Vince and Joe's still open? If not, head on over to Kroger. Just grab whatever you can. This is a crisis. Help me out, son. What Mary doesn't know is that Jesus, at this wedding, has shifted into Messiah mode. And her relationship with him now must change. Our Roman Catholic friends say that this passage shows that Mary has a special in with Jesus to perform his first miracle because she's his mom. And thus, they say, we can approach Mary to mediate between us and Jesus. But again, I must respectfully disagree. The whole point here is that Mary's relationship with Jesus must now change. It's why he's speaking to her the way he is, from mother to son, now to disciple and master. Jesus calls her woman. That's the same word he refers to his female disciples as, woman. Jesus never calls Mary his mother. He never calls her mom or mother. But on the other hand, Mary does succeed in prompting Jesus to perform his first miracle, not only saving the wedding reception, but also launching his public ministry. Mary succeeds in getting to Jesus to do something that it appeared as though he wasn't going to do. Well, that's pretty significant. She shoots, she scores. Way to go, Mary. Not bad. The point for us is that any Jesus follower can go to Jesus directly on behalf of somebody else and ask for help. Maybe it's a sick person or a son or a daughter who's gone astray or a person trapped in an addiction. And Jesus will hear us. Later in the same book, Jesus makes this promise. Notice, and think about this in relationship to what Mary did in the story we just saw. It's John chapter 14, verses 13 and 14. Jesus is speaking. He says, "And I will do whatever you ask in my name, so that the Father may be glorified in the Son. You may ask me for anything in my name, and I will do it. You may ask me anything in my name, and I will do it." That's a promise. And Mary is the first in John's gospel to illustrate this promise. Mom, sister of Jesus, you can intercede for your husband, for your kids, for your grandkids, for others. You know, my mom was a great prayer warrior. She was a great intercessor. She prayed for me every day. God knows I needed it. Every week I send out the pastor's prayer letter. If you're on our email list, you get it. It's also out there at the welcome desk. It provides you with the latest news here at Stony Creek Church, the needs, the prayer needs, so that you can intercede for people who need healing or mourning a loss or facing a challenge of some kind. You can rejoice with people who have just experienced some good news. We know this past week, Bruce Forbes lost his wife, Gail. Mandy lost her mom. Mark and Megan Russell going through another miscarriage. The Cervantes, they've got COVID. Lots of needs. Lots of needs for intercession here at Stony. You know, some people are called to intercession as a special ministry, like Kathy LeMay. She gets that prayer letter, and that is her ministry, to pray over those prayer requests every week. She's got some health needs and can't be here with us all the time, but that's her ministry. And like our pastoral prayer team, people that come down here and pray with and pray for people after the services, be an intercessor. Use that prayer letter and do that for the Lord. Let's look at the third way. Any mom can be a blessed mother. Number three on your outline, take care of Jesus' legacy. Our final story takes us to the foot of Jesus' cross as he suffers unimaginable agony. Four women are standing there at the foot of the cross. It's in John chapter 19. And one of those women is his mother Mary. We pick up in verse 25. It says, near the cross of Jesus stood his mother, his mother's sister, Mary, the wife of Clopas, and Mary Magdalene. When Jesus saw his mother there and the disciple whom he loved standing nearby, he said to her, "Woman, here is your son." And to the disciple, "Here is your mother." From that time on, this disciple took her into his home. In those days, you could actually make your last will and testament on your deathbed, even if your deathbed was a cross. No attorney needed. You could do it. And that's what Jesus is doing here. He's making out his will. His mother Mary is a widow. Joseph had died years before. In that culture, it was the oldest son's duty to care for his aging mother if the father had died. That means Jesus was responsible for Mary's care. But now he's dying. Soon he will utter those immortal words, "It is finished," signaling that his atonement is completed. He has paid the penalty for the sins of the world, and now he can die. Now he can expire. Soon his body will be wrapped up, placed in a tomb, and buried. And of course, he will rise again on the third day. But he's no longer going to be living on earth as ordinary humans do. He's not going to live in a house. He's not going to need to sleep somewhere. He's not going to need to eat somewhere. He's not going to need to use the bathroom anymore. No. He's going to ascend into heaven, where he will be seated at the right hand of the Father as Lord of the universe. But what about Mary? Who will care for her now? Well, Jesus' choice is to entrust his dear mother into the care of his best friend. John the Apostle. He's called here the disciple Jesus loved. And he's the author of the Gospel of John. From now on, John would care for Mary and take her into his home and treat her as his mother. And she would regard John as her son. This touching scene is an outstanding example of what Scripture talks about when it says we need to care for the widows among us, the aging parents, the hurting people among us, just as Jesus does here. I thank God for the team that went out yesterday and spending time helping some people here at the church, like the Javeries and Pat Ray. And that's really putting this example into practice. When my mom had Alzheimer's and it was getting advanced, we could no longer care for her 24/7. We had to find a facility that would do that. And so my brothers, Scott and Ron and sister-in-law Mary and my wife Debbie, we regarded this as a sacred duty to care for her, to provide this care for her who had so lovingly cared for us. Some of here have been through that. And we lost our mom in 2013, and some of you have been through that as well. Kristen Russell is going through a tough time right now with her mom. I need to pray for her and be of support to her. But it's not a burden, it's an honor. It's an honor. Honor your father and mother, Scripture says. But there's also a further application of this story for us. In John's Gospel, John, the disciple Jesus loved, is portrayed as the ideal disciple, the model disciple, the disciple closest to Jesus, the disciple who understands Jesus, who really gets what he's saying, and witnesses for Jesus. In fact, Jesus favors John. He's kind of a teacher's pet in the Gospel of John. And he favors him here over Jesus' other his siblings, his younger brothers. Really, they should be James. He passes on the care of his mother too, but he does it to John. What an honor. What an honor that is. Now, of course, we no longer have Jesus' mother Mary here among us, but we do have his bride. We do have the church. Scripture says that when a man gets married, he leaves his father and mother and he joins to his wife. Well, Jesus is now with his bride. The disciple who's closest to Jesus will also be closest to his bride. Guess what? He takes her with him everywhere he goes. He's proud of her. We're family. You can't have Jesus without his bride. Do you know that? People try, but can't really be done. Now, of course, she's not perfect. Jesus is going to perfect her one day, but Jesus takes it personally when we want him without her. He gets offended at this. Your local church is Jesus' bride in miniature. When you join with her, you join with him. When you join with him, you join with her. When you exclude her, you exclude him. When you serve the church with your gifts, you are serving him. Let me take you to the scene of the Last Judgment Matthew chapter 25. Jesus is speaking. He says, "For I was hungry and you gave me," that should be underlined, "me something to eat. I was thirsty and you gave me something to drink. I was a stranger and you invited me in. I needed clothes and you clothed me. I was sick and you looked after me. I was in prison and you came to visit me." Then the righteous will answer him. They're standing there before the judgment throne. They'll answer him, "Lord, when did we see you hungry and feed you, or thirsty or give you something to drink? When did we see you a stranger and invite you in, or needing clothes and clothe you? When did we see you sick or in prison and go to visit you?" The king will reply, "Truly I tell you, whatever you did for one of the least of these brothers and sisters of mine, you did for me." You know something? Jesus is not talking here about the stranger on the street. That's the way this passage is almost always understood. But that is not understanding it in the context of Matthew's gospel, in which he has already said, as he says in Mark, "Who are my brothers and sisters? Those that do the Father's will, those that hang out with me." He's talking about his family, his brothers and sisters. He's talking here about what would be called the church. To neglect the church is to neglect Jesus. How you treat the church is how you treat him. You can tell a lot about someone's commitment to Jesus by their commitment to his bride. You know why historically church has always appealed to women, even more so to men? It's because in the church, mothers and single women and widows found an equality and a care that they didn't find out in the world. A special place where they belonged, and it's still true. Which brings us to our main idea. The one thing you want to remember if you forget everything else I say, it goes like this. Every mom who faithfully follows Jesus is a blessed mother. Mom, we honor you today. Not just because we love you and owe our very existence to you, but also because Jesus honors you. He calls you to be his sister. And maybe even his mother. A person becomes a brother or sister of Jesus when he or she repents and turns to Jesus as Savior and Lord. Do you know that Mary called God her Savior? Did you know that? If Mary needed a Savior, and certainly you do, and I do, right? If you've never entrusted yourself to Jesus to save you, do that today. We're going to close our service here in just a moment. We're going to dedicate our tithes and offerings to the Lord. A band is going to come up and lead us in a closing song. Please stand with me. Let's pray together. And if you need some counsel or intercession for something that's going on in your life, or you want to become a Jesus follower today, come on down here and talk with one of our pastoral prayer team members. They'll be very glad to assist you. Father in heaven, we thank you for Jesus, our Lord. And we can even see him as our brother because he shared our humanity. And we thank you, Lord, for his mother. Father, we thank you for her example. We thank you for the one who brought him into this world as a man. Lord, I pray that that example would be followed today, especially by the moms here and the women here, and also us, Lord, all us guys. We can be intercessors too. We're part of the family as well. Lord, we dedicate our gifts to you, our tithes and our offerings. May every penny be used to bring glory to your name, not to somehow pay you back, but as an act of worship. We pray in Jesus' name. Amen.